Hey, it's good to see you today. If you got a Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 41. It's good to be back. We took some time to be with family, and I got to see a grandchild that I hadn't seen since she was 15 hours old, and I'm starting to get this grandparent thing. Let me tell you why. Is that when I made a deal that I'll hold her until she cries, but then she's yours. I've done that, and I'm done with that. So anyway, I'm starting to get that, you know, because she's a handful, and so I understand. I'm starting to get that whole thing. But we know we had a great time. All of our family was all in the same place for a couple of days, which was pretty cool. And so blew up a lot of fireworks and had a lot of fun. So it was good. So anyway, again, hey, get it. Take your Bible there for Genesis chapter 41. You know, this is as we walk into this passage, we've looked at this story of Joseph. I've really enjoyed letting you see the story of Joseph, because you got to remember, this is just not one series. This is like a lot of series all under the title of Joseph, you know, in his story. You know, when you look at this whole chunk of Joseph's life, there's something about Joseph. It's a central character. You may not look at it that way, but Joseph seems to be overshadowed, you know, by Noah and Abraham and Moses and David and all of the rest. But I want you to know that Joseph is kind of a central character, because so much of Joseph's life is a picture. God's writing a story within the story. We'll share with you just a very little bit about that today, but that's going to come over the several weeks. And so we've looked at it. And again, there's 400 years between the end of Genesis and the opening of Exodus, much like the end of Malachi and the beginning of Matthew. And so you have this picture of this, of Joseph and how God used him. But within this 13, 14 chapters of Joseph's life, you have a lot of series that are kind of small series. Like the very first that we did when we started Joseph is that we talked about how God can use your past for his purposes. And we saw in Joseph's life that even though that you come from and you made mistakes, or maybe your parents and those in your family made lots of mistakes, maybe those that are close to you made lots of mistakes, but I want you to know that God can use those. It's incredible how that works. So we talked about that. And then the next, if you will, mini look at it is, what do you do when your life falls apart? Boy, that is key in Joseph's life. And then we're going to finish up today, how do you handle success? How do you handle success? And you'll see that today. And that ends today. Next week, we'll start just a section on forgiveness. I'm here to tell you, if there's anything that we need to hear on it, if there's anything I think that does more damage to us and who we are psychologically, if you mind me saying that, mentally, however you want to say it, is that issue of unforgiveness. And you're going to see that picture in Joseph's life next week. So we have these sections of Joseph's life that teach us all kinds of a myriad of different things. So anyway, that's where we've been. And so all these things that have been going on in Joseph, last time I was with you, we talked about that God's purpose was revealed. It's amazing, because Joseph, you'll see it today. Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery by his brothers. And he's 30 years old when he rises to power. And so there's 13 years that go, we have in Joseph's life, that he just has, it just seems to, that's what we call it, what do you do when your life falls apart? Because everything just kept falling apart. Every time it would do okay, it would fall apart again. And it just like, it looked like one train wreck after the next, as that was what was Joseph's life. But God had a purpose. And remember this, if you're his, then your life has a purpose. And he has a purpose for it. It's not what you want it to be. It's what he wants it to be. And it's what he's doing. Because Joseph, there's no way Joseph could have figured out his life. I mean, think about Joseph trying to come up with a five-year plan. I mean, none of that would have fit into anything he wanted to do. And yet God was in his life. And it's incredible, because through all of the problems that Joseph had, it all came, not totally all of it, but a good chunk of it, it all came clear within about a 24-hour span of time. I mean, it was all revealed in front of him, where Joseph was like, oh, okay, so that's why that, and that's why this, and God has turned that to make that that. Okay, that all makes sense. Now, we won't see till next week when his brothers show back up in town the rest of God's plan. But most of it was last week, again, with just God's purpose revealed. Today is God's purpose performed. So when you go through all of these things that God is taking, again, those 13 years, Joseph didn't know. He didn't know what he was going through and why he was going through it. It all dawned on him 13 years later, but you got to remember, you walk through the roads all at the beginning part. And so, but now you're going to start seeing it get traction. Now you're going to start seeing that all that God took Joseph through had a point and had a purpose to it because of what God was going to do in Joseph's life and what God wanted to do through him. And so you're going to start seeing that take place. You're going to start seeing that take place today as we look at this. So again, he was a slave somewhere around 8 years, plus or minus a year or two. And then he was imprisoned for 5 years, you know, plus or minus. We don't really know. We just know it was 13 years. Okay. And so he kind of passed all the tests. Right? Again, this is just, we remember, school was over. You know, boot camp comes to an end. You know, all this training, all this school, and finally you start doing what you've been prepared to do. And that's what happens right here. It really is remarkable to look at it when you see it. If you take Joseph's story and you look at it for what God wants to show you, it's one of those rare occasions, because we have so much about Joseph's life, it's one of those rare occasions that we can look and see why God was doing what he was doing in Joseph's life. Sometimes we can't see it in our own lives. So this becomes a picture. So we've seen Joseph, the beloved son, right? We've seen Joseph, the slave, the faithful slave. We've seen Joseph as the prisoner, and now we're going to embark on this section of Joseph, the prime minister, okay, if you will. Because again, we talked about the last couple of weeks about, you know, the dreams of Pharaoh and how Joseph made a difference in his life. So let's take a look again. That's what you see. This today is going to be mainly for those, if you are a believer, if you are his, and his work in your life, to get you ready for what he's called you to do. So what I'm going to talk about for number one is what I'm going to call preparation. Okay. It's a preparation for ministry. Okay. I want you to see that, that every class Joseph went through, God was preparing him. Let's take a look underneath that. And I do want us to read a little bit today and take a look at, let's take a look at Joseph's position. And you'll see it. Look at verse 39. And it says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. So again, God can change. I want you to hear this. God can change your circumstances anytime he wants to. So it was part of God's purpose and plan that Joseph go through those 13 years. I want you to hear that. And just, I mean, and it changed. Like I told you, within 24 hours, you know, Pharaoh had this dream and Joseph had a chance meeting with the cupbearer, the chief cupbearer, and it stood before Pharaoh, and he told Pharaoh about a guy, you know, a guy I knew in prison, right? And basically they bring Joseph, and God gave Pharaoh a problem that only Joseph could solve. And so you have this whole picture, and so Pharaoh is so enamored with this guy, with Joseph, that he looks at him and says, wow, well, yeah, I understand this picture. It'd be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Yes, we need to start storing up. That makes sense. And it all fits in. And yes, that's it. That's the truth. And Joseph, since God has shown this to you, then you've got to be the guy. But remember, I just want you to hear this too, is that Pharaoh was a pagan. If you know anything about ancient Egypt, okay, Egypt of antiquity, then you know just how pagan it was. All of the crazy beliefs and all of the just multitude of gods and a God pretty much for everything. And yet they knew that there had to be a God. And yet they made it up to be so many different things. And so when Pharaoh looks and says, Joseph, you've got to be the guy. I mean, who else would, you know, God show this to? So they had this picture, but you have to remember when Pharaoh refers to who God is, that's a lot different from who when Joseph talks about it. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. Again, I want you to get the feel of this part of it. Because it's really going to get dramatic over the next few weeks. But this is one of those transition looks that you don't want to miss some things that are really there. So let's continue to see what happened. So it says, you shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards to the throne will I be greater than you. So he raises Joseph up to this prime minister, if you will, basically a second in command. In fact, you're going to be in charge, Joseph, of everything. But he'd learned to be in charge. Okay? Because God had been working with him all along the way. He'd learned what it took to administrate on a bigger level. And he'd learned what it meant to do these type things along the way. God had made sure of that. So let's continue. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I've set you over the land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and he put it on Joseph's hand. Okay, we got the signet ring. That's a big deal. Okay, signet ring, and he put it on Joseph's hand. And Joseph had this ring, and it was basically the authority that went with it. And it was basically a credit card with no limit. Okay, that's the best way to say it. He was going to go throughout the country, and he was going to start storing grain. And you had to build grain bins. And so he's going to have to employ labor. He was going to have to buy materials. And remember this, when you're going through a highly prosperous time, it's easy to do those things. And so that's what he was going to do. But he was going to have the authority to be able to do it. So Pharaoh gave him everything. He says, I want you to make this happen. So he took the signet ring off of his hand. He also said he clothed him in garments. Okay, garments of fine linen. What is that picture? You know, so much of Joseph's life can be told by the robes that he wore, right? You talk about the coat of many colors. You talk about the robe that Potiphar's wife took off of him. And now you look at this one, the prime minister's robe. Put a gold chain around his neck. You have to remember that this elevation in power is a tough thing to be able to understand, but it's also a difficult thing to handle. Again, when you have, it's so incredible when you think about being in charge, when you think about being in charge and having huge responsibilities, if you're not ready for it, it'll destroy you. But that big chain around their neck, I want you to understand, just so you know, the Egyptians were interesting people. You know how in the military that we have our military that'll wear different, you know, ornaments that promote rank, you know, and then you have all of the different medals and different things that usually are located right here. And so, but that big gold chain. If you notice, it just wasn't like a gold chain people hang around their neck. It was that wide thing that you see the Egyptians that they wore, and it had different colors and it meant different things. So we're talking now, the guy's got it all. He's got the ring, he's got the credit card, right? He's got the fine clothes, and he's got the position of authority that goes with the neck, okay, with the necklace. And then you go on down, he gave him the chariot, what's called the second chariot. That means that obviously Pharaoh had the first, he had the second. So when he rode around town in style, okay? It was the BMW, okay, of chariots. It was the thing that said that when he pulled up, look what it says, bow the knee. That doesn't make a big deal to think much to you, but when you talk about it, that meant respect. That meant this guy's in charge. That means when he comes by, it's like a salute in the military, but it's about, in other words, Joseph went from being a prisoner to these things. But that was God's plan, but God had gotten him ready to be able to handle something like this. So you take a look at all of this and you see how in the world could somebody handle this? You got to see the purposes between the things that God has taken him through. The position I mean, Joseph had learned from very beginning, from young, of watching over sheep, to then to a point to where he started out real, real low in Potiphar's house and worked his way up and learned how to manage a huge household. And then he did the same in the prison. And now when he steps in, God had walked him along the way where he'd learned to do it. So basically Pharaoh handed everything over to him and Joseph got to work. How in the world do you handle such things? You know, I've learned that those who long to be in big positions of authority have never really been there. Because if you've ever been there, you wouldn't want to go there. Because of just the stress level and all the things that it takes. It's not just about being in charge. Those that just want to be in charge are not fit to be in charge. I found out. Is that right? You know what I'm saying? Because then they'll just be a tyrant and lord it over everybody and be arrogant and cocky and all those things. Most people can't handle a position like this. And Joseph would not have been able to handle it unless God had taken him through what he'd taken him through. I'm here to tell you, if God's going to elevate you to a position like this, you're going to have to go through quite a bit in order to learn so that you can handle it. When you think about absolute authority, or at least almost absolute authority, is what Joseph had. He could basically do anything he wanted to do anytime he wanted to do it. How does one have that much authority and that much power and be able to keep their mind on what is the best for the people that are underneath me? Did you hear that? How can you have that much and still keep your mind laser focused on the welfare and the benefit of those who are underneath you? Most can't do it. There have been very few in our history that have been able to truly be leadership that cares about those who are underneath them. Most people just want to be in charge because they think how cool it would be to be in charge and tell everybody what to do. Lord, let's hope they never get in charge. But see, Joseph learned it. I'm here to tell you, when you've been a peon, former peons make great leaders because they know what it's like to be a peon and they'll treat the peon with respect. But if you take somebody who's never walked through, I'm telling you what, somebody who's mopped the floor and emptied the trash knows what that's like. Right? And I'm telling you, and that's where Joseph started. First of all, obviously he was just a kid, but he started off in Potiphar's house. In fact, let's take a look at a couple of the classes that Joseph passed, all right? I like it this way. All right, number two, which is the first class. I'm going to call it RIS 101, all right? Responsibility increased slowly. You want to know how somebody is responsible is that you start them off with something menial. So you start them off with something that really doesn't matter if they do it or not. At least it's not critical. And if they'll do that and do it well and take pride in what they do, then you raise their responsibility up a little bit and give them something else. And then if they're faithful in doing that, then you rise it up. In other words, Jesus had the idea when he said in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, he says, "One who is faithful in little is also going to be faithful in much. Therefore, start somebody out low and let them grow." You give them too much too soon, the temptation is for them to basically start wobbling out of control or spinning out of control. It's just an incredible thing when you look at it. But it's a spiritual principle that is there throughout the Bible. One who is faithful in little is also going to be faithful in much. Look at this next piece. One who is dishonest in little will also be dishonest in much. That is, those who lie to you about stupid things, don't give them any more. Because they're going to lie to you about that too. It's an incredible thing when you look at things like this. For if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, then who's going to trust you with true riches? These are Jesus's words. Okay? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another's, that is, if you haven't been faithful working for someone else, then why is God going to give you something of your own? I've heard of people praying, "Oh Lord, give me $1 million. Okay, I want you to hear me. Well, what have you done with the 100 that he did give you? I mean, I know you don't want to hear that. But if you're not going to be faithful with the 100 he gives you, then why is he going to give you a million? You'll just be unfaithful with that. You'll just be a bigger explosion. All right, when it all explodes. Guys, we see this all the time. This faithfulness. And God usually teaches you slowly. And yet we live in a generation that I want it now. Right? I want it now. That's why they implode when they get it too quickly. I mean, take a look. I've talked to you about this before. But before I came to you, I lived in Tampa. So I was able to do a lot of the sports chapels and other things. And you give these kids tons of money, these athletes, tons of money and tons of popularity and tons of prestige. And you throw it all on them just simply because they have a natural talent. And you wonder why, what, 95% of them, their lives just explode. I mean, it just is a mess. Too much too quickly. So there's this picture of this class that God put Joseph through. Right? This basically, when you look at it, to me it's interesting when you see this responsibility is increased slowly. How are you able to handle it? It's increased slowly. To where it just becomes a natural thing as God at work in life. But remember this, through the 13 years that Joseph was going through it, he didn't see what God was doing. He just looked like life was falling apart. But God was showing him and teaching him. So when you take a look at faithfulness, guys, if you are a believer here today, if you're His, then God's at work in your life. And if you're not being faithful with what He's entrusted to you now, you're going to keep re-enrolling in that same class until you learn to be faithful. Because how does one learn to be faithful? Well, they learn by things blowing up in their lives. Lord, I'm not going to make that mistake again. That's how you learn. And so God is actively, if you're His, He's actively at work in your life. Now, it may not be so grandiose as being prime minister of Egypt. God has a different purpose for all of us. But in reality, what is big and small in God's eyes? It's just about faithfulness. So whatever it is, whatever little place or big place God has for you, are you going to be faithful? The way you're going to be faithful is you're going to follow His directions and usually learn slowly, because it seems to be the spiritual principle of how God uses us. He teaches you along the way, and usually the classes that you're enrolled in, you don't even realize you're in a class. Most of us whine and bellyache because it's, God, I can't believe you're alive, right? But you eventually get over the whining, right? And God doesn't get tired of it. He says, okay, they need more work. It's true. It's the way I see it all over the scriptures, especially in Joseph's life. So he went through this difficulty that's increased slowly. Now, the second class he went through, which is number 3 here, is what I call DIP 201. What is that? Difficulty increased progressively. Okay? In other words, what does that mean? How are you able to handle certain things? I'm telling you what, this difficulty that's increased progressively, it's a truth, but it's not a fun truth. Let me tell you what I mean. I remember some of the hardest things physically I ever went through because being athletics, I played football in college. When I reported for freshman camp, and they got us there a week before they got everybody else there, and basically, it was to see how many of us they could run off, because they wanted the ones who were gonna do it. And so what they would do, they would start working you, right? And I tell you what, there were times when I would get up the next morning, and I was only 19, but everything ached. Everything hurt. I couldn't hardly roll out of bed. because I was so sore from all the running, the contact, if you understand the game of football, and all the different things, and you just ached. But I have learned that the harder you work, all right, and there's this toughness level. Our coaches used to call it mental toughness. I never understood what that meant. I just thought that was a coach word that they always threw out, you know. But what it means is this, is you never realize what you can actually do until you have somebody there who pushes you far enough so you can learn. You don't realize just what you can do. You would have quit long ago if you hadn't had this coach, this tormentor with you, right? But all of a sudden you're like, wow, I was able to lift that. Man, I was able to run this. I was able to do that you never dreamed. But remember this, that happens slowly. And someone who is able to handle it is someone who's been through it. Joseph had been through tough times. You're talking about, think about how long it took him to get over being sold into slavery at the age of 17 by your own brothers. Think about the bitterness that he had to overcome. Think about the anger. Think about some of those things. It's during those times it will test your faithfulness to who God is. It'll test the fact, God, am I going to trust you or am I not going to trust you? It's going to test those times as, Lord, are you here? Why is this happening? The question is, do you want what he wants? But sometimes it might be a tough road, but I'm here to tell you, there's always purposes for it when you're his. It may not seem, it may seem like God's forgotten you. It may seem like, Lord, what's going on? It may seem like, God, if you just get on my page, this would all go a lot better. But God's got a purpose. Rick Warren calls it, God never wastes a hurt that happens in your life, that he's not using it to prepare you for something else. Which in reality is what we want, right? We want to be used. We want to be trained. I had not a friend. He was just a guy we all admired, but this has been long, long time ago. This was when I was in my 20s, and I was just starting in ministry. And there was this guy, and he was a speaker, kind of a traveling speaker. He'd been on a church staff, but he'd gotten sick. And man, this guy was sick for 25 years. He had terminal illnesses, like two of them. But he just kept making it. And it just stretched over a long time. I'm here to tell you that this guy had a faith that you could sense when he walked in the room. Because he trusted God every day. Because every day this illness might catch on and he'd be gone. And so kind of like every day for him was a bonus. He thanked God for every day. He just had a way about him. And I just gobbled up anything I could get from his tapes. Yeah, tapes, right? Yeah, I understand. But that's what they were back then, tapes. I gathered up everything because every time he spoke, every time he shared something, it came from such a depth of someone who seemed to have a relationship with God. There was something I just couldn't imagine having because he walked it. But I remember him saying one time, is that he said to a group of young pastors, and he basically looked at them and all he says, listen, I know I've heard from some of you, is that you wish you had the faith that I had. This is what you tell me. I wish you had the faith you had. He said, but guys, are you willing to go to the school I went to get it? Does that make sense? Oh man, I'd love to be prime minister. Yeah, but are you willing to go through the school that it takes to get there? Oh no, I'll skip all that. Then you'll just explode when you get there. You'll just be another one of the statistics that couldn't handle it. If you want to be used by him. The reason, guys, I want you to see this is I want you to see there are purposes. And you don't have to know what the purposes are. God, that's his department. No, you've ever wondered why the Bible keeps talking about it over and over again about just being faithful? You know, in all things, Lord, I'll trust you. That's not always an easy thing to do, especially when you're sitting in prison. Especially when you've been sold into slavery. You begin asking the question, God, what's happening? What's happening? But see, all of it made sense when we talked about it last week. When it all woke up and Joseph was like, oh, that's why I was sold into slavery. That's why, so I could get to Egypt. And that's, oh, okay. Now, God, I see what you're doing. But can you trust him when you can't see what he's doing? Interesting. So you begin to see then, you begin to see a little bit of this God preparing Joseph and what he was doing for him, right? And the ability for him to be able to handle such a high position because he'd learned to. Number two is the provision for Joseph in ministry. You know, there's a couple of things in here. We'll read a couple of the verses here, but I just want, this is kind of just in the middle. Let's look, because life keeps happening for Joseph. Let's take a look at it. Provision for Joseph in ministry. Number one is that God gave Joseph a family. Look at chapter 41 and verse 44. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up a hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, which basically just means he who knows. It's an Egyptian. It's an Egyptian name. He who knows. Some have translated, survival, or it is through him that we survive. But again, I think he who knows is what it is. And then he gave him in marriage Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On. So Joseph went over all the land of Egypt. So now he gets married to this, obviously this girl who is Egyptian. But this is something that Pharaoh does. It was customary, and that's what he did. She was a high-ranking daughter of a high-ranking official, and so that's what happened, and that's kind of how it all fit together. But it's interesting how it happens, because then, take a look in same chapter, verse 51. And Joseph had a son before the famine started. He had both of his sons. And the first name of the firstborn was Manasseh. Now, I think that's interesting. He gets an Egyptian name. His wife, obviously, is Egyptian. And yet Joseph names his two children, Manasseh and Ephraim, with Hebrew names. So what does that tell us? Well, you have to look at the meaning of the names. Look, in fact, Joseph tells you what the meaning of the name. He called the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all of my hardships from my father's house. In other words, through all the hard times, God has allowed me to accept that and to put it behind me. Guys, how many times do you hear people to say, I've just got to put it behind me. But they can't ever do it. They try. Just got to put it behind me. Well, they don't. I'm here to tell you, when God allows you to do it, it's an amazing thing. Especially when God's in it to teach you something. And the name of the second was Ephraim. And that name means, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. How in the world is it? In fact, so that just gives you a picture that Joseph was catching on to what God was doing. In other words, not only, this is classic, not only has my life been a disaster, but God has made something good out of it. In fact, he has made me fruitful in the midst of all this affliction. There's a picture here of Jesus when you compare it to Isaiah, the chapter in Isaiah that described Jesus as being a tender root that grows up out of dry ground. Well, tender roots don't grow out of dry ground, at least not very easy. So in other words, basically Joseph blossomed amidst controversy and struggle and trial and stress. And God caused incredible things to happen through all those things. So the reason we kind of stopped here and take a look at this, I want you to know that Joseph knew. And Joseph never forgot. Because number one, God gave him a family. Number two, God gave food through Joseph. That kind of happened. We'll look at that again in a minute. But number three is the most amazing to me. Is that Joseph was able to keep his faith living in the middle of paganism. Can you imagine that you would name your children these Hebrew names? Can you imagine you would keep your faith in the middle of all of this? Well, the great question is, if, as being believers today, I've got a question for you. Are you able to keep your faith living among paganism? Because, guys, you know, I don't have to tell you, the further our nation gets away from God, look at the news. The more violent it becomes. The question I have for you is, are you able to live faithful wherever you are right now? Whatever job you are in, or you just kind of join in like the rest of them? Joseph was one of those that he learned to trust God in a tough situation. So when he was absolutely surrounded by paganism, he was able to remain faithful all the way through the end. In fact, when we get to the end of Joseph's life, do you know the one thing that Joseph, as far as faithfulness is remembered for? It's found in Hebrews chapter 11, where they just kind of give you one thing from about every character in the scripture of what they're remembered for. Joseph was remembered for, when he died, gave instructions, when you leave Egypt, don't leave me here. I mean, it was 400 years later. But God had promised Israel they would come out of Egypt, out of their slavery. And Joseph was prime minister. He knew all what was going to happen because he trusted God's word. And he told them, long after all of his dad, his brothers had all died, he told the nation of Israel, he said, when you leave here, I want you to take my casket with you. And 400 years later, when they left, they took his casket with them. That's what he's remembered for. He had a trust for God living amongst paganism. Guys, you may be an outcast. You may be looked at as funny, but guys, listen, if you're his, are you faithful to who he is? To me, this is one of the most amazing things about Joseph's life. He was literally alone as far as anybody else knowing who the true God was, and he remained faithful. Interesting. And number three, and this is where we'll close, there was a plan. God always had a plan. But there was a plan for Joseph through all this in his ministry. Take a look at let's look at 45 again. And we'll read a couple of verses we've already read, but I want you to see a couple other things. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him in marriage Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And so Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And here's verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh and the king of Egypt. So we know he was sold into slavery at 17, and now he's 30. So 13 years, that's where I came up with the 13 years. And understand, I could do math like that, okay? I'm pretty good at that. And so when you take a look, continue to read. And when he went service of, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. And during the 7 plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly. And he gathered up all the food of those 7 years, which occurred in the land of Egypt. And he put the food in cities. And he put in every city the food from the fields around it. And Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he ceased to measure, for it could not be measured. So now you see that Joseph was a pretty organized guy, but he'd learned along the way, as we talked about. And so you can see that he had an entire group that he oversaw with this. And he learned to build the grain bins in different areas so he could have local distribution when it all happened. So he planned ahead. He did well because he'd learned up along the way of how to do things. And so again, those were just things that happened in Joseph's life and that happened along the way, but again, he had a central administration, but then he had branches throughout the country of doing these things. So he just was who he was because God had made him that. And the country became financially sound. Because it goes on to say in the rest of it, look at verse 53. The 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come. And Joseph, just as Joseph had said, and there was a famine in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. When all of the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, this is classic. This is having a go-to guy who's ready. Go to Joseph. Okay? And whatever he says, he just said one word, do. That's what you do. So what did Joseph do? Well, he was prepared. So the famine had spread through over all the land, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Now look at verse 57. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth. Now this is classic. So now you've got this kid who's not basically a kid by this time. After the 7 years, he's 37. He's heading toward 40 in the middle of this famine. And so you're looking at this guy that God has used. But just to kind of throw one little thing out to you, and we'll get to this when we get to the end of the service. Take a look at another parallel with who Jesus is. Joseph, because of who God made him to be, and through how God equipped him, he was able to save the earth from starvation. So the purpose for Joseph's life was salvation, was it not? So when you take a look at the purpose for Jesus' life, it's the same type. It's just different. One was physical and one was spiritual. So when you look at these things, we're going to look at it at the very end of the series, but I want to point a few along the way. So Joseph and Jesus have great parallels in their life if you'll look for them. If you'll look for them. All right, got to close. Got some things to learn. All right, we've told the story this morning. Again, this is kind of just transition. But let me just share with you a couple of things that you can take with you. Jeff, how does this apply to my life? We've tried to make it that way a little bit along the way. But let's take a look at it now and just see what it says. Number one, don't let hard times get you down. You could be in training. You see, this is where... And so I hope you can catch this. If you can get this, it'll help you a ton. Because our culture has become so self-centered that we simply think that God's existence is to make me happy. Therefore, God, I'm not happy, so you've got to be doing something wrong. But remember, the tough times in your life could just be a training God's putting you through, but something he wants to use to do with you later. I want you to know that God... That Moses was in training for 80 years before God used him at the age of 80. You do realize that, right? He spent 40 years with Pharaoh. He spent 40 years out in the wilderness herding sheep. And at 80, that's when God started to use him. And used him for 40 years. I don't know what God's doing in your life. I wouldn't even try to guess. But could it be that he's getting you ready for something down the road that you have no concept or no idea he's going to do? You never know. The question is not whether it's happening or not happening. The question is, are you going to trust him through it? Because see, the thing about it is, if you don't trust him, if you don't learn to trust him through it, then he'll just re-enroll you in your class and you get to do it again. Why? Because if you're his, he's going to keep working, right? He is not going to quit on you. You will not be quit on if you're his. Just like parents today won't quit on their children, at least the good parents won't. God will not quit on you if you're his. So you'll just keep enrolling and keep going through it. Eventually you'll pass. And then you'll get to go to the next class. But remember that. His desire for your life is to mold you into the likeness of Christ so that he can use you. And he will not give up on you, because the scripture says, he who has begun a good work in you will not quit until he finishes it. Till the day of Jesus Christ. So it's an incredible thing to think about. So sometimes, have you ever thought about it? Perhaps the hard times that are happening in your life now, because in a crowd this size, there's a good many of you sitting in this room right now that are going through dark times. Right now. This could be God's word to you. Just hang on and learn everything you need to learn. Because you don't know how God's going to use it. Do you want to be usable? This may be the path to get you God usable for his purpose for your life. Not your purpose for your life, but his purpose for your life. And that purpose looks in all different shapes and sizes. Number two. Your past does not have to define who you are. Look at Joseph. Hated brother, slave, rapist, jailbird. Your past does not have to define who you are. Things that have happened to you do not have to define who you are. But so many times people allow their past to define who they are. Interesting. That's why Paul said, brothers, I don't consider the thing to make my own, but there's one thing I do. I forget what's behind me. And I strain forward what lies ahead I can press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, God's got a race for me to run. And I can't worry about what's behind me, but I can look where I'm going ahead of me. Just great stuff. Number three, great blessings or prosperity don't have to be your downfall. You know, that may seem strange to you, because most of the time people say great adversity doesn't have to be your downfall. But I'm here to tell you, so many more people struggle with prosperity than they do with adversity. Most people cannot handle prosperity or blessings. I'm here to tell you, how many people do we know that when the huge blessings come into their life, they disappear from church and from who the Lord is? Oh, yeah, they come up with all kinds of stuff. But boy, as soon as adversity hits, back in church, they're here. So sometimes adversity God puts in your life to keep you learning to trust Him. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll get to the point where God can trust you, He'll pour out as many blessings on you as you can handle. You hear that? As you can handle. But He's not going to give you so much as that you go wandering over the cliff. He's not going to give a car that'll go 180 miles an hour to a kid who hadn't learned to drive yet. Right? Why? Because He knows you. He understands, and it's at work in your life. It's interesting. We'll go on and on. We've got to finish. All right? Number four. All right? Whatever God calls you to do, He will always equip you and provide for you to do it. Remember this. I think it's interesting that God is doing what He wants to do. And I think sometimes we think it has a whole lot more to do with us. I don't think it does, personally. I think we just need to be faithful. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, where would Israel have been if Moses hadn't been willing to do what he did? Well, this is the way I look at it. Well, God would have just found somebody else. If Moses hadn't been willing to do it, then God would have just found somebody else. He's not dependent on us. He never has been dependent on us. It's just a privilege to be able to be used by Him. And then in the process, we get to know Him better as He uses us. You know, it's so amazing. You know, you got to see it that way. Like I love sharing God's word. It's one of the great joys of my life. I love sharing God's word in a way that people can understand. I learned that back when I was in the student ministry and found out that I just want people to understand. But God isn't dependent on me. Guess what? If I leave tomorrow, there's plenty of people that can share God's word with you. And it has nothing to do with, just last week, Jim Black, I heard, did a wonderful job sharing with you about me. He's not dependent on us. It's a privilege to be used by Him. Interesting. So remember that piece, all right? If God's going to use you, right, He'll equip you and give you the opportunities to do it. God equipped Joseph all along the way, and Joseph didn't even know it. He gave Joseph the opportunities. How else could Pharaoh have a problem that only Joseph could solve? You take a look at it. It's God's responsibility. We just need to learn to trust Him. Learning to trust Him. Number five, and finally, others benefit greatly by you performing your purpose. Look at what Joseph did, and look how many people benefited by God using him. And I don't know what God's taken you through, but I guarantee you there are sections of people that can learn greatly from you, that can be encouraged greatly from you, that can benefit greatly from God working through you when you use what He's trained you to do for His purposes. This is an incredible thing. Again, I've got to be done. But that becomes this great picture. That's what this whole story is about. That's what Joseph is about, is sharing these things. So as we close up this one, we head to the forgiveness next week. There's going to be a lot of things to look up, but the thing that I keep saying, okay, listen real close, I'm just about done. The thing I'm saying, and I keep saying, is if you're His. See, these things only pertain if you're His. What does it mean to be His? Well, every service, and this service hasn't been particularly pointed at what it means to how to become a believer, but in every service, we always like to give people the opportunity to do that if you'd like to know more about that. There'll be some pastors down there afterwards that would love to talk to you. What does it mean to start trusting Him? Because there's a day, a point in time in your life where you put your faith and trust in who Christ is, what he came to do, and then that journey begins as he's actively at work in your life, using you for his purposes. It's an incredible thing to think about.